Okay, so this morning might be a little weird.
Great way to start.
Well, what was that?
Unusual.
Perhaps.
You mean weirder than normal?
All right, weirder than normal. I know. There's something hit me yesterday, and it wasn't my wife. Something hit me yesterday.
Was it something she threw?
And
rolling pin.
Yeah.
Told you I didn't want a toaster for Christmas.
That was that large print Bible. Anyway.
That's funny.
So much trouble now. You guys have no idea what I'm going to have to endure now. I am not a smart man.
I'm sure it is.
I'm sorry. Apparently that was just for me and her. I shouldn't have done that. I don't know if you heard about the... was she 11 years old? The child that was killed on the playground in Cincinnati over the last few days. She was shot. And I noticed that they had a picture on one of the news websites of, I guess they were holding a vigil or something along those lines, but there was a banner that her family was holding up.
Yes.
Yeah. And
they had her angel wings.
Had her angel wings.
Yeah.
And it just struck me as we see it so frequently. We hear about it so frequently. So-and-so gained their wings today. So-and-so has become an angel. There's a new angel in heaven. And I know that those types of thoughts bring comfort. But I also want to know, where have we gone wrong? How is it that we have perpetuated this discussion, this thought that we become angels when we die, or that we're sitting on clouds playing harps? It sounds a little bit absurd, but I know that as much as I see it and hear it and you witness it on Facebook and all these other places where people make comments about their loved ones who have passed, where have we missed it? I mean, I'm talking about Christians that make these comments, believers who talk about this. And it's interesting to me to look at Scripture and see how Scripture classifies and qualifies angels, how angels look from the outside at what we get to experience with salvation and wish that they were a part of that. You know, there's a lot of different statements throughout Scripture where, and I'm not trying to go, angels are bad, but it makes it very clear that we are not and never will be angels, that angels are created beings in a different class than we are. And the two do not meet. They are not the same. And I wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning, because it also kind of came to light as I was doing some research last night and trying to think about how do we discuss this, that as a teacher and as someone who sits in front of you folks, that I don't talk enough about what the ultimate, or as I was telling Ann last night, what the end game is for Christians. We talk all the time about heaven. We talk all the time about, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? Don't you want to do this? Well, don't you want this? But we don't talk as much about what the end game is, about the resurrected body. That's the point of it all, right? Heaven's not the ultimate goal, if you will. It's the resurrection that we look for. When we talk about what our hope is, that we should have and be prepared to give a reason for. It is the resurrection that is to come. And so I wanted to open up some discussion this morning and try to talk about that a little bit. Because I think sometimes that we miss the boat. You know, if we go through the book of Revelation and chapter 21, in fact, let's see, would anybody read that for me? I think it's 21 verses 1 through 5 in Revelation. And talk about what is to come for the future. Because no, I don't have slides today, but I figured we could make this work.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also, he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true."
Yeah. So in the end, there are some things that we sometimes get wrong. I don't think we don't mean to get it wrong, right? But we will talk about death sometimes as it is a natural thing. Death is not a natural thing. Death is the enemy. Death was not supposed to be here. Death is the enemy that Christ defeated. Death is the ultimate enemy. If we never have a resurrected body where we are once again, essentially, think about Christ after his resurrection. You could touch him. You could see him. He asked for food. And Bible tells us that this is what we have to look forward to. An imperishable, incorruptible body that is far, far superior to being an angel. And that in the end, there will be a new heaven and a new earth that will, and there's a lot of things I know we could talk about in Revelation where we could go about post-trib, pre-trib, and all these other things about end of time discussions. But let's just focus on what Jamie read. The new heaven and the new earth coming together. We talk about the earth being, quote, destroyed by fire, and I'm going to put that in those quotes. Think of it this way, not destroyed by fire, but cleansed by fire, so that it can be rebuilt. Everything I see in Scripture tells me that eventually, we will be, as believers, resurrected in an imperishable, incorruptible body to live on a new earth with God, where heaven and earth will come together. You see, that's the end game for Christians. And we focus on heaven and the mansions and the streets of gold and all of these wonderful things. And don't get me wrong, they are wonderful things. And we should talk about them. And we deserve to talk about them. And God needs to hear us talking about them, because we're focusing on his words. But we stop far too often and we don't go on to say, hey, here's what this is all about. When Scripture tells us that if the resurrection didn't happen, we are all essentially fools. If we don't have the resurrection to look forward to, then what are we looking toward? And so if we never do wind up back in the body as the Scripture tells us, then have we truly defeated death? Because without resurrection, death has still caused a separation, right? We are not spirit and physical beings anymore. we come back together. That's a promise we have through Jesus Christ, is that there will be, and Mom used to talk about this. I brought this up last night. Mom used to talk about it all the time. She would say, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. How do you deal with it when people decide to be cremated? How does that work? How does God resurrect them when they have been cremated? She's like, you would think you have to, you know, you've got to bury the body, and the body is resurrected. And then I'm going, well, Mom, there's a lot of bodies that have completely decomposed. I don't mean to be morbid, but they're just not there anymore.
Yeah, they're dust.
Yes. And there's also plenty of people that unfortunately have met their demise in ways that their body just didn't exist anymore.
Or died in a fire.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Those things exist. All I can say is I trust God's word, and God will somehow put us back together.
God can create Adam from dust. He can do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was funny because it would seem like those thoughts would come into her mind occasionally. And we had the discussion 2 or 3 times. And she would always end with her going, yeah, I guess that's right. Yeah, I guess that's right. You know, because there's these things that you know how that works. It comes back to your mind and you have to rehash it. But I feel as though, and you guys tell me your thoughts on it, we don't go to Revelation often enough to say, we like to say, I read the back of the book and we win. But what does it mean? What does that mean when we are talking to other people? If it brings these folks comfort to think about their little girl as an angel, okay, I get it. However, assuming that they are of a Christian faith, and I don't know that, but I have to assume that there is some faith there to draw a picture of their depict their daughter with angel wings, right? And I know I'm putting a lot into that, but I'm also taking that and putting it together with these comments of, you know, God has gained another angel when we lose a loved one and things of that sort, and bringing them to a head and saying, how, well, let's take it this way. How do we talk to those people? What would you say to those people if you had the opportunity in order to witness to them in a proper manner and give them the hope that they, I mean, because it's wonderful to think about your child in heaven. I'm not trying to take that away at all. But what is to come is so much greater. It is so much more wonderful, and how do we break these stereotypes, these misconceptions, and clarify even with Christians that this is not what God has in store for us?
I think it's just, I think there's probably an unintentional just lack of understanding or commingling of thoughts about heaven from people, and then I think it's rooted in, I don't know when we first started painting that picture of we become angels, but I mean, I remember, like, you know, the cartoons.
Exactly.
You know, Roger Rabbit or something, you know, the weasel hits the ground and then the angel flies out, he's done, you know, gave up the ghost, you know. But we think of that. I think it was, you know, even I was, because the holiday season, so It's a Wonderful Life, I think, Clarence was once a man, because he says something like, I died actually like 200 or 300 years ago, but I'm trying to get my wings. You know, I don't know when that happened, when we started associating, because you're right, the Bible always said the angels were with God before man was created.
Well, Lucifer
was
an angel.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Was an angel.
Yeah, I was waiting for somebody to go there.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of the things you, I don't know how much has just been fantasized about angels and what's truly biblical. Because you'll hear people talk about mass accounts of like the revolt of the angels in heaven. So, and they're loosely tied to like single verses from like Ezekiel or something like
right.
that. It's just one, but we extrapolate this whole mythology behind. I don't know how much of that is true or not. But we know that the angels were there, and there's the constant thing we traumatize with, they didn't want to serve and they fell, you know, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven, right? That old mystical thing. And then, but it, clearly it is, it, they do mention the angels that were there with God before us, and we are different.
Yeah, we are very different. I don't know of any reference anywhere that describes the angels in the way that Scripture describes us being made in the image of God. You know, there is a.
In fact, isn't it? I think it is biblical when we believe angels bred with humans.
And I don't want to get into that.
I'm just saying. But the bad thing was, mixing that created monstrosity.
Yeah, well,
we're clearly different.
Yeah, that's a whole other offshoot game. you're going into the Nephilim discussions, and
but it's like that means we're clearly different, and we're not supposed to.
Yeah, there's. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we can. Let's just set that one aside.
That's for a different day.
Yes. We'll just keep going forward. Yeah, you're talking about the verses where it talks about the sons of God or the sons of heaven. I forget the reference, but yeah, and created the giants, the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot, boy, you can take that a lot of different places. But no, there's so much, and I love your reference about Roger Rabbit, because I keep thinking about Tom and Jerry. For me, that was, you know, there you have these moments where something happens and the cartoon character gets smashed, and all of a sudden this light opens up and this incredible, escalator to heaven shows up, right? And they step on the escalator, and as they're going up, they're going, strumming their harp. And it creates some kind of a picture in our minds, I think, that we look at and go, oh, it's peaceful. It's wonderful. It's something we should look at. But it is so unbiblical, and it is so much in contrary to what I think God wants us to realize and to focus upon as Christians. It just hit me that last night, like I said, as I was going through things for our discussion today, that we tend to stop before the reward. We focus on heaven as the reward. And while it is, I'm not trying to discount that, it's not the end result. You know, it doesn't stop there. Is it fair to say that depending on when Christ returns, some may never actually see heaven?
Are you talking about old heaven?
Old heaven.
Okay.
Yes. I am talking about old heaven. Not new. Yes.
Because that was always confusing to me. Like, if heaven is perfect, then why is there a need for a new heaven?
A new heaven.
Like, I understand earth is corrupt, but does that also mean that old heaven is corrupt? But I've never thought of it, like you mentioned, how it could be the new heaven and the new earth more like a combined
place. Combined place. Yeah, it's a, and the picture I get in my mind is, I think about Genesis, and I think about God walking and talking with Adam prior to the fall. I think about this this level of perfection that we have never gotten to experience. This level of closeness and relationship with God that we are working toward as we are going through our life each day, hopefully getting more and more Christ-like, right? Knowing that we won't experience it until Lord calls us home. And I think about when we read about that new heaven, new earth, and God is dwelling with men. God's place is with man in the new heaven and new earth combined. And I get this picture of God is just resetting everything back, right? Because now we will have nothing, God will have nothing there but righteousness. And the earth will have been cleansed by whatever method that God has chosen, and it seems to be fire. And it will be something that we can't even imagine. And this is where we will dwell forever. Is heaven incorporated into that? Absolutely. It's part of it. But the heaven that, and this is where we have another discussion, right? There are groups of Christians where I would say we all believe here based upon scripture, where we know that Christ told the thief on the cross that today you will be with me in paradise. I think we have enough scripture basis to say that when you are, and I'll quote it, when you're absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. But there are many Christians who do not follow that belief. They look at other verses of scripture and say that, no, you are asleep until the resurrection. And they call it soul sleep. And so they look at from the opposite point of view and say, no, your soul goes to sleep and you will stay in that state until Christ returns, and then you will be resurrected. I don't want to have an argument about that, because guess what? We're all focusing on the same end game, okay? And I'm not trying to justify one or the other. I just want to say, if you believe in the resurrection with me, then we have something in common that we can go on, because obviously you believe in the resurrection because you believe in Christ crucified, right? So we have something incredibly in common.
And our body is a free part, being, you know, soul, spirit, and body.
Exactly. I think that's something too that in everything that I have been reading, where their scholars are trying to put together, you know, why is it that there will be a resurrection? Then why is it necessary? Because it's like you said, if heaven is perfect and we can dwell there as spirits, why is it necessary for us to be put back into a body and come back to earth? And it's, again, it goes back to what I said earlier. If death is truly defeated, then this is the outcome. We are back together as we were made, only better. Now, I don't know what that looks like. You know, I mean, will it be me 100 pounds ago? Well, you know, because even me 100 pounds ago is nowhere near Jamie now, right? So, you know what I mean? Yeah,
you spread it there. I was hoping to myself.
Yeah. So.
I was going to put a little list together. Putting back together, could you?
Yeah, can you fix this? Can you improve that?
Yeah. My eye's a little weird on this. But I guess he probably already knows.
Trust me. I'm sure he does. So yeah, it there's some serious points this morning, right? Death is not natural. For a Christian, we understand and know that death is the enemy and was brought about by the fall of man because of the sin that occurred in the garden. And to speak of it as a natural thing that occurs is going against scripture, because that was not the intent of the original creation. We do know that it is appointed unto man once to die. No question. That's because of where we are, right? We're living in this fallen world. But the end result for the Christian is resurrection. The end result for the Christian is living in a new body. And I keep saying these words over and over because I love them. Imperishable and incorruptible body, right? And it's something that we all should be really looking forward to, where the focus always winds up being on heaven. The heaven that we describe and talk about is a temporary place, because eventually it will be merged and become in the new heaven and new earth. And that was the whole point of what I just wanted to talk about this morning, was this I mean, tell me, how often when we talk to other people, Christians or whoever it may be, and we talk about our loved ones that have gone on, how often do we discuss the resurrection? I mean, is it just me? Am I the only one who seems to have just... I can't tell you when I sit down and talk about whenever these situations come up. I always talk about heaven. I talk about they're at peace now. I talk about they're not suffering anymore. You know, I focus on the elements that bring us immediate comfort at that time because we are mourning the loss of a loved one. And those are the things that come to mind for me when I'm discussing something. Are we doing a disservice by not saying, and here's what the Bible tells us is to come for those who have trusted Christ?
I think it's not talked about enough, John. I mean, I've been in church for many, many years, and it always seems like even, you know, you listen to a lot of messages, and the messages about how to get to heaven. And I've always looked at it that way. My view is that I get to be with Jesus. The rest will all just work out. I'm focused on being with Jesus, period.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. I just want to make sure that when we talk about it and when we are witnessing to people and that we're giving the whole picture.
Yeah, you're right.
Because it's so much more wonderful. It's incredible to talk about, and I know that we talk about mansions in heaven and all they are temporary dwelling places, and in the end, that is not where the Bible tells us we will be, and that was really the whole point of my thought processes. That's why I said this is not going to be a typical, and you are sitting there going, yeah, this is too. I'm sorry. I know how you do things, John. This is very typical. But it's just something that really bothers me, that I feel like we have failed in some way by not making it clear that when you think of your loved one becoming an angel, there is absolutely no biblical basis for that thought process.
Yeah, it's funny that this happened this morning, this last night. Betsy and I were just flipping around trying to find something to watch, you know, and got on the Angel app on TV, and there was this movie, and it was, you know, about this, supposed to be an angel that came down to save this couple's marriage. And then in the end of it, it turns out that it's their miscarried child that they had lost like 8 years before. And like, wonderful story. But, you know, Betsy and I had this exact discussion.
Last night. After it was over, it's like, okay, super cute movie, but
don't get your theology from movies, right? Yeah.
It's not how it works, but yeah.
Even one that's on the Angel app.
Yeah.
You know, so you were talking about where people get this, and something I had read said that maybe people got that initially from Matthew 22:30, where it talks about for, so this was about the woman who's, you know, her husband died, and then the next she married, and the next one, who shall be her husband in the resurrection? And so Jesus answered and said, you're mistaken not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. So I said, you know, that might be where some people got the thing. And then, of course, when It's a Wonderful Life was done way in the early 1900s, I guess. Or whenever.
That was like 40s.
Yeah, 40s. Yeah, because I was like, wait, Jimmy Stewart was in it, so... but yeah, I mean, that kind of perpetuated that because, yes, he said the suit. It was the suit he had on. His wife gave it to him.
That's interesting. I had not found that in the readings I was doing. And it's really, really funny because I was just quoting that to somebody the other day, but I didn't quote it properly. And I realize that now. And I didn't say anything about that last part. I basically said, you know, Jesus was telling him, hey, you don't get it. You don't know, you don't understand. But that last part is pretty important to make the comparison.
But I think they're taking it out of context.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like it's referencing like you're not going to be married and all the
it's a simile, not a
definitive. Yes, yes.
It's very clear that there's the teaching as in there, not an R.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Go away. Teams calls. It's pretty important to point that out, that it's a comparison.
Yeah, we're also creating God's image, but we're not God.
We're not God. No, we are not, sir. I didn't have a good place to take this as a conclusion and a wrap up, other than to say, hey, let's talk about this and see where this takes us this morning. Because it was something that was just weighing on me, and I said, we've gotta talk about it. You know, when you realize what the Bible promises, and you realize that we are commanded to be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within us, if our hope is not complete, how do we give a reason? Right? If we are going to be able to tell people that the hope that lies within us is because of Christ crucified and Him being resurrected on the third day, how does that go together with us saying, and we just want to go to heaven? Because the end result is, Christ is our example for what is to come. And we need to be able to carry that through in our discussions and make it clear that we look forward, yes, we look forward to heaven, but in the end, we look forward to the day when Christ returns and when there is a new heaven and a new earth and we have been raised. That's the day we look forward to.
I don't know that some people understand or grasp the concept that death was never part of the equation at creation. Man was like, one Wednesday night we were talking about, you know, like the age of man and did people truly live 900 some years or 800 some or 600 or whatever, and how it went on. And it's like, yeah, I mean, we were initially, our bodies at creation were meant to live forever. And I said something about that and it kind of got sort of glossed over, and I don't know how many people really realize that when God made creation,
death wasn't in it.
We had, yes, like death was a result of sin. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what the world would look like if there was no death, but you know, yeah, it'd be crazy.
It would definitely be different.
Yeah. How does that work? I don't know.
Excuse me. It'd be like an eternal movie theater. Pardon me.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. You know what? But yeah. I mean.
And
then that's restoration to original intention. You know.
With the ones who belong, so to speak. I don't know how else to say it, right? I mean, it sounds cruel. It sounds, sometimes it's really hard to have the discussion and to grasp the fact that Scripture is very clear and teaches not everybody's going to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, but how often do you see, you know, somebody died and they're like, well, they come a little devil and
right, yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, I have seen it in some of the cartoons.
Yes, it has been depicted that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were also talking last night about this whole battle between good and evil. We oftentimes also have a misconception that Satan and God are opposite ends of the spectrum, and they are separate, opposite equals. And wow, is that wrong. You know, that is so wrong. It was so great because I asked the question last night. Sarah was at the end of the table and standing there with her mom, and I said, who Who is in charge of hell? And Sarah said, God. I was like, whoa, I didn't expect that answer. Because the Bible teaches us that hell was made for Satan, right? It is a place where he has been put.
It's a prison.
Yes.
A cage.
Yes. So it's not that it's his quote unquote, I'll use the term kingdom. It's that it is his dwelling place, right? And it is God who has said, this is how it will go. And so when you want to look at spiritual battles and spiritual warfare from a biblical perspective, yes, there's war, yes, there's battles, but there's never any doubt who the winner is, right?
God's the warden.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yep, exactly.
I think biblically in the Bible, people's reaction to seeing angels is not, it's intense.
It's very intense,
it's
yes.
Fear a lot of times.
Every sometimes time they respond with fear not.
There must be a reason for that. I don't think they look like what our cartoons have in mind.
Yeah.
And then just reading like Revelation, like the description of those angels, like cherubim, they don't seem to be the same order of angels or whatever as the Old Testament angels that are yielding swords and things.
Right. Yeah, there's a different picture there. There's a different picture there. Well, I appreciate the discussion this morning. Thank you guys for indulging me, and hopefully everybody gets something out of it. But it was, I just felt like this wasn't where I was intending to go, but I saw that banner that was unfurled, and I saw those wings that they had put on that little girl, and I just couldn't help but say, we don't talk about some of these things enough, right? And I think we have gotten to a point where we see some of these things and we just kind of go, oh, that's cute. Mm-hmm. And we allow it to pass. And I'm not saying anybody should run up to this family and go, hey, what's wrong with you? Don't you know better than that? That's not what I'm saying. I am saying, though, that as Christians, we should be united and we should be talking about the true hope that we have in Christ. And that true hope that we have in Christ lies in his resurrection. You know, I made the statement again last night. I said, I don't want to take away from the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. However, Jesus was born. We've all been born. Jesus died. We have all and or will all die. What separates clearly is that Jesus was resurrected and continues to live and defeated death, and he sits at the right hand of the Father and he acts as an intercessor for us, and we have these things to look forward to because of what Jesus has accomplished for us by defeating death, the ultimate enemy.
The sad part is, John, you said it earlier in passing, but the sad or more wonderful part of it is that what we have to look forward to is so much better than saying, and you're right, how do you walk up to somebody who's just lost their child and wants to feel like that child is an angel? Well, a child's better than an angel.
Yeah.
A child is in a better place than an angel is, and the end game, like you said, is so much better than being an angel.
Without a doubt. Well, I'll wrap it up there this morning. Thanks again for all being here. I appreciate your feedback and discussion. And every now and then, you know, we zigzag a little. So
at the end of all this tense and deep discussion, I had a lesson last year in kindergarten. It was on the death and resurrection. I mentioned the thief, and today you will be with me in paradise. That whole conversation, one of the kids starts singing Cheeseburger in Paradise by Jimmy Buffett. Having this discussion, which led to, will there be cheeseburgers in heaven? And I go, and in the middle of my somebody says, how about hot dogs? You know, kindergarten takes a whole different spin.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah. At one point I got so many questions from my kids and being in Awana and everything from other kids. Questions with regard to what will be in heaven, something that they would be attached to. Will it be there? I don't want to be without it, etc. And I just started saying, you know what? God knows what we need. And while I don't have answers to all your questions, I know that if it is something that you need, God will make sure you have it. And I would stop there. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, I can't tell you. I don't know.
Yeah, Tolman was like, I don't know exactly what's going to be there. I know I like cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
And I'm there, so maybe. I don't know.
And what can be better than having one in paradise? Yeah, but, That's wonderful.
And they're good for you.
And they're
the more cheese and bacon,
the better. Yeah.
In heaven, they won't make you fat. Oh
my God. Go straighten your bicep. All right. We've not only derailed, we've
crashed, and the caboose is burning. I mean, the whole train is wrecked. It's gone. It's over. All right. Let's close there. Thank you, Lord, for this day. And again, Lord, thank you for the discussions that we have here. Father, let us carry these thoughts that we have today with us as we leave. Lord, allow us to hide the words of Scripture in our hearts and to use them as words of comfort and guidance, not just for ourselves, but for others. And thank you again, Lord, for all that you do and for preserving your words in Scripture for us for so many years. And Lord, I ask that you be with us as we depart from this room and begin a new work week, that the things that come up and distract us so frequently from the thoughts of you, they will not be the things that champion and take over. Lord, allow us to push them aside and always just remember what's truly important. And thank you, Lord, again for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.